Are we rolling? I think we're on.
Where are we?
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Lucky number 13. That's 13. Right. We're not a skyscraper that just goes ahead and skips over number 13 on the elevator buttons.
We're acknowledging it.
That's right. Lucky number 13. Can't believe it. Been together for 13 episodes here at Bacon Smiles. As always, I am Steve Patera, joined by my good friend,
Evan Shaw Mumford.
Awesome. I'm excited, as always, to do a podcast with my good friend here, because it's always a good time. It's always fun. I know we hit some harsh topics last week. Not harsh, yeah. But some serious,
heavier.
You know, serious topics, because we're supposed to hit those, too. Mm-hmm. It's really funny. I got some feedback about what we talked about last time, and people really enjoyed it. People really enjoyed that we're willing to talk about that kind of stuff and to let people know that they're loved and everything, and let them know that there's things out there, to let them know that they're not alone, and that we also enjoy having fun at things like the Big E and, you know, my meet and greet that's coming up next Saturday, actually. It's coming up quick. And so kind of in keeping with some more serious topics, what we're going to talk about today, we want to talk about the things that are going on in the world. You know, there is some things going on that got people up in arms and everything, with the cop, police involved shootings, and then the rioting and all that. So we're going to try to touch on that a little bit, probably take a little bit of a different tack than, what you're seeing in the media, nowadays. Also, and then we're going to talk about, some things that are going on in, some music, just some things are going on in Christian music, what people are thinking about. And, then what's pretty cool about who the saint of the day is today, it's Saint Michael the Archangel.
Really?
Yeah, leader of God's army of angels. So if you're familiar with the Saint Michael prayer, it's pretty cool that that's the saint of today. So I was pretty pumped about that. And then, of course, we're going to end with News of the Weird. And then I got a little bit of a challenge for you. When we get to the end. So let's barrel right into this thing.
Right. Why not?
So
By the way, we're on Periscope right now.
Oh, yeah.
For anyone listening to the podcast, you probably missed the
broadcast missed the already.
But feel free to follow us on Twitter. It's _BaconSmiles. And then you'll get notifications every time that we start streaming live.
Yeah, because now, I mean, I think there's like one person following at Bacon Smiles that's not one of us.
Right, which is cool. So, slowly getting followers.
So we're trying to do this new thing where you can kind of get involved live. We can see what you're thinking, and then you can just look at my...
Send us some topics if you want. We can discuss it on the fly.
Yeah, and you can make comments about my ridiculously red beard.
Who wore it better?
Yeah, that's right.
You're Con Cornelius.
That's pretty great. So we're streaming live, and you can see what we look like, which is kind of cool, I think. But the things that are going on in the past couple weeks with the officer-involved shootings and then the unrest that happens afterwards, I really wish that we could take a breath, take a moment to realize that even in those moments, that we need to realize that the police officer is a person, is a human being. And we need to also understand that the person who was shot and was killed is also a human being, and that we're called to love each other, and that the reaction, the knee-jerk reaction, should not be to riot and just cause destruction and to immediately think that all police officers are out there just trying to kill people. And I really just pray that God keeps his hands in these moments and just hovers over these people and just shows his love to them. Because we're at a point right now where I feel like people have just forgotten that we're called to respect authority. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that regardless, you know, of how you're treated, that you shouldn't stand up in one way or another, but I don't think what's happening is what we're called to do as people. Right. What God calls us to be is good-hearted Christians to each other and love one another. And, you know, when there is things, when you are being oppressed, when you feel like you're just downtrodden and there's nothing you can do, there are peaceful means of protesting and there are ways to get out there. And, yeah, there was a bunch of hoopla about Colin Kaepernick kneeling during the national anthem. You know what? He's not hurting anybody. I definitely agree with his right to protest. Do I think that the national anthem stands for a country that's oppressing people? No, I don't. But are there people out there that feel differently than me? Absolutely. And I totally agree with the fact that they have the right to their opinion, and that's the greatest thing about the country that we live in, is the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion. I have the right to have this podcast right now because of that First Amendment. There's not someone policing what we can and cannot put on the internet. That's amazing. That's an amazing thing about this country. But we're also living in a country right now where everyone thinks that they have the right to just beat up on everyone. We have an epidemic amongst where kids are talking back to teachers to the point where teachers have no recourse if something's happening to them. I think that we're running into a situation where people just don't understand that we're called to be better people than that. That when someone tells you that you should do something, that doesn't mean that you immediately say, who are you to tell me I shouldn't do that or what I should do? You should understand that if there is someone in a position of authority, that you should respect that on some level and then also just care about that person as a human being instead of immediately just coming from this point of hatred and understanding, like, well, who are you to tell me what I should and shouldn't do? I don't know. That's just my opinion on it. I just don't think God calls us to destruction and calls us to have so much hate in your heart and just what's happening. So, I mean, I'd love to know what you guys out there feel about it. How do you feel? What do you think?
I agree with you. And I was listening to a podcast actually a couple days ago from a church based in Tennessee. And they actually took a look at 1 Peter chapter 2, which talks a lot about this and just how a lot of times we get frustrated and we post stuff on social media about my boss that's crazy, or, you know, my next door neighbor that's got the radio on too loud, or, you know, this and that. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, it talks about how we're actually called to love the person and be kind to the person in hopes that by being kind to the person, they can see the God in us.
Awesome.
And then that leads to changes. And there was a book that I found a few years ago called Let Justice Roll Down, which was written by a civil rights activist who was almost killed by white supremacists.
Supremacists,
yeah. But it was his lack of fighting back that actually saved his life. And he actually rallied a bunch of people together and had these peaceful protests where he said, do not strike the police officers. Do not condemn people, do not be violent, ugly, any of that. Just show peace, show love. And he actually ended up changing a lot of minds of their oppressors just because of that. Because they didn't know any different. You know, it was what they were raised to believe. But by seeing people act differently and just say, this person is loving me despite how I'm acting, something's got to change.
You know what's really funny? It's funny that you brought that up. Could you look up, I think it's Psalm 62. I think it's called Trust in God. There's a part in there where it, you know, says that my heart and soul wait in silence for God only. But then there's this other part where it talks about how long are you going to persecute somebody? How long are you going to beat? To me, what it meant was how long are you going to beat someone down?
It's trust in God alone. Did you want me to read the whole thing?
Or that part.
How long will you threaten a man? Will all of you attack as he were a leaning wall or a tottering stone fence? This is the Holman Christian Standard Bible.
So trust in God alone, meaning that the person that you should put all your faith in, that person, but you should not put your faith in a person. It should be all in God, and God will protect us. And God is your rock, your salvation. It also has all that in it too. It's really funny because I was struggling recently, and as I turned to scripture looking for God's word in me, this came up. And I think it applies to the situation of unrest, and if you're feeling oppressed and everything like that, I think God will speak to you in that moment, and sometimes you need to turn to scripture and understand that you just turn it over to God is all right. I'm trying to say. And so in this scripture, it just says, like, how long are you going to beat on something? How long are you just going to sit there and, I don't know, how long are you going to complain about something until you can find a constructive, peaceful, Christian way to do something right. about it? Because if you're just, I'm going to try to say this. If you just continually to stir the pot, it's the best way I can put it. If you're just going to keep spinning negativity on your Facebook, on your Instagram, all this stuff, and you keep churning people up, how long are you going to do that? How long are you going to keep beating the dead horse, for lack of a better thing?
Right.
I really think that we're called to find peaceful ways to correct situations. And I definitely believe that there is something wrong right now. I'm not saying that there is not something wrong. Mm. All I'm saying is I feel like something is being – what's happening is we're being stirred up. Mm-hmm. We're being, I'm just saying, I think we're called to peace and we're called to love. And I think that we're being stirred up into negativity, into hatred, when we should be putting our trust in God and then letting God speak to us in peace and love. So that's all I'm trying to say, is that I think that we're called to love, and that mm-hmm. I think that we need to turn it over to God.
Amen.
Amen. So the other thing we were going to talk about?
Christian music.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
One thing that I've been reading a lot over the years, and it's been pretty prevalent in blogs and articles today, is about the content of Christian music. And I think it's kind of funny because back in the 90s, there was a lot of campy Christian songs and a lot of great songs that a lot of youth groups sing today. But it was kind of a more tongue-in-cheek. And then over the last few years, there's some bands that have really dug into deeper categories, 10th Avenue North, for example, Casting Crowns. Even Stephen Curtis Chapman on his last few albums has been digging into deeper themes. But at the same time, there's been some critics of it just asking, you know, if the music feels cliche to other people.
Yeah.
And they'll pick out different patterns. And there was one comedian who is a Christian, and he came up with a video where it was him and a friend running a record label deal, and they're saying, this is how we think a lot of it operates. And then they're giving this band who wants to sign onto the label a bunch of pitches of ideas and saying, mention water, mention deserts, mention a lot of landforms, make sure, you know, you do this, you do this. And then our plan is that you'll come out with an album, a live album, a Christmas album, and then a greatest hits album. They just basically run down these whole plans. And people have been given their feedback, and it's been pretty split down the middle, I think, where some people are saying, oh, I feel the same way every time I turn on the Christian radio. I feel like it's pandering. Whereas I've come to learn, because there were some artists that I'll listen to and some songs where I just go, this is just not feeling genuine to me. But then through seeing other people's reactions at concerts, if I see these bands at festivals and just seeing these people move to tears or just saying, you know, this song changed my life, this song brought me closer to Christ, I'm thinking, you know, who am I to necessarily say this song is not a good song or it's not a good outreach song if it is impacting someone? So I didn't know if you had any thoughts on
that. Yeah, absolutely. So here's the thing, and it comes up for me a lot too. I you know what I always equate it to? You know how, like, sometimes you'll walk into or see a movie for the first time and you don't like it? Then you see it again and you're like, actually, that movie was pretty good.
Right.
I think it always has to do with where you're at when you hear something the first time or you see something the first time. If you go into something, and I know I harp on it all the time, if you go into something feeling negative or down, or that's the way it's going to react to you, like that, or the way you're going to react to it, is that if you're in a bad place, then you're going to have a negative experience.
Right.
And I think that if you're coming from a, If you're coming from a point or a place where you already don't think you're going to like something, then I don't think you're going to like it. Mm-hmm. Or if you go into something having too high of expectations, you might not like it because it's impossible to live up to those expectations.
Right. Exactly.
You know, and that's where I think that where a lot of the quote unquote cliche or stuff that comes from people talking about Christian music is that they already come in saying, oh, well, they're going to talk about Jesus. Well, it's Christian music.
Exactly.
Yeah. Nope, they're not going to talk about it at all. They're right.
Make it sound like a love song too, girl. Yeah.
It's just, it's one of those things where if you go into it going, oh, I really hope they're not going to, you know, be really over the top with right. Christianity. It is Christian music. And yeah, there's some bands that are kind of like secular and Christian, mm-hmm. Switchfoot.
Yeah, Skillet.
Skillet. You know, where they can cross over and have songs about things in their lives and all this other stuff, and they can just have some really secular hits that are really good songs with a decent message, you know, yeah. that are just not, you know, hit you in the face with Christianity.
Right.
Which is great, because you know what? That also may bring you over to the side of right. what, you know, their message is about their music and who they are as people. The other part of it is if you just go into it thinking you're not going to like it, then you're probably not going to like it.
And chances are if you're thinking a lot of the music you're hearing are full of cliches, you might not be finding a lot of the really, really deep, rich music that's written by more independent artists.
Oh, yeah.
One musician that our friend MJ introduced me to a couple of years ago was Andrew Peterson.
Okay.
Who was very heavily influenced by Rich Mullins.
Oh, okay.
And just a lot of his music, it's more the softer James Taylor kind of style of music.
Yeah.
And it's quiet, but if you're in the right mood, it'll just wreck you. You know, it'll just awesome. Get you right in the heart. And there's a lot of great musicians out there putting stuff out there that's not necessarily heard on contemporary Christian radio, but it's good quality stuff. And and when you find it, you'll love it and tell someone else like MJ did for me.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing, too, is it depends what kind of music you like. And the thing about Christian music, and it's one of those things where most people don't realize this, having gone to Soul Fest, I kind of realized that there's all kinds of genres in the Christian music thing. It's one of those funny things where all of a sudden on iTunes or you know, Spotify, they just put it all into one lump called Christian, and all of a sudden you're like, well, you know. What if I want rock? What if I want Christian hard rock? It's out there. It's actually pretty good. I'm not much for the Cookie Monster. Cookies. But it's out there. And there are people who love that.
I'm still looking for Christian polka music. I haven't found that yet, but I'm still searching.
I guarantee it's out there. You may have to go to like Poland or something to get it.
Right.
But there's all kinds. I mean, there's all kinds out there. There's Christian R&B. There's Christian hip hop. There's, you know, singer songwriter, acoustic guitar, of course.
Right.
So most people, when they think of Christian music, they think of singer songwriter, one person, guitar, or they think of country music.
Yeah.
One or the other. But that's normally it.
And the hip hop scene is huge right now.
It is. And you know what? It's kind of, I don't know, I'm kind of going off on a little tangent here because my brain just, you know, my ADD starts kicking in.
I was about to say.
But here's the other thing, too, is if you've ever been to a big conference or you've seen on big stages of what people, like you were talking before about Christian music and how people react to it, being Catholic and having seen what contemporary Christian music can do while celebrating a mass is amazing. And I'm actually really glad because St. Bridget, I don't know what they're going to call it once it's merged.
Yeah.
But now at St. Bridget's Church in Manchester, Connecticut, they're going to have a young adult based mass. They don't want to call it a teen mass, but they're trying to gear it more towards high school age and older. for the mass. And what my hope is that you'll see more contemporary Christian music being played at the mass, because it, the celebration of the mass is supposed to be about worship and bringing people together. And I think there is something to say, to be said about the celebrating of mass, including more upbeat style. And that's the thing. And that's, it can all be the same exact songs that we're hearing week in and week out during the mass. But if you play them in a different way, if they're sung in a different way and a different tempo, it's just, to me, it's bringing the celebration level up a little bit. And that's just my personal preference, because I've been to NCYC, National Catholic Youth Conference. I've seen what it looks like when 25,000 people worship together and celebrate the mass together. It's awesome and amazing, and you can feel it. And that's what I say, you know, I'm hoping to bring, that the church brings in a small level back home to, you know, St. Bridget's Parish in Manchester, because those moments that really, really light someone's faith on fire, that's what I'm hoping. Because in music can do that.
Sure.
Anything, anyone new, anything new coming out?
So last time that we met, we talked about some new music coming out, and we talked about Casting Crowns.
Yeah.
And I had predicted that it would probably be one of their best albums in years. It is phenomenal. If you haven't checked out their brand new album, The Very Next Thing, you got to check it out. That came out a couple weeks ago. Has some great songs on it. Very, very powerful stuff. Also, coming out this week, we have music from the Planet Shakers called Overflow, The Never Claim, which is kind of an indie pop rock band. They have a new album called Encounter. If you like gospel music, Fred Hammond's coming out with a live album called Worship Journal Live. That's coming out this Friday. And if you're the kind of person that goes, well, I don't like buying albums, I prefer getting the singles. Mm-hmm. Wow Hits 2017 just came out last weekend.
Wow.
And it's got, it's cool. Got all the big hits. Yeah, yeah. That's what turned me on to Christian radio back in 2003. I was listening to it and just, I found the album after seeing a commercial for it on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I had found the stuff through youth group, and I was like, well, you know, I
mean,
well,
we had, I think we had every Wow, like we had Wow 1 through like 8, you know?
And, so yeah, so it's a great series. They compile the biggest Christian hits of the year, and it's got stuff from the Newsboys, Chris Tomlin, Nicole Nordman, Stephen Curtis Chapman, and more. So if you're watching the Periscope right now, Steve's listening for some peculiar sounds coming from the other room.
I have my brother's dog here too, so Buster and Birdie are like tearing a door down in the other room, which is fine. I heard something. I was like, what was that?
They're loose. But Wow Hits 2017, if you're just looking for the singles, check that out. It's a fantastic album. One thing that just happened, a live announcement that happened on ESPN's Twitter, maybe we can tie this in real quickly. Lady Gaga has been announced to be the Super Bowl halftime performer.
Awesome.
If and I know we were talking about this a little after the last Super Bowl, because Coldplay and Beyonce and Bruno Mars were there.
Yeah.
If you could pick a band to play at the halftime show, Christian, country, top 40, living or past, what band would you select for the Super Bowl?
That's so hard. I mean, selfishly, I'd probably like to see, like, Matt Maher.
Oh, yeah.
Just because I would love that.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be fantastic.
You know what I mean? So that would probably be, I mean, and then Toby Mac would put on a great show. You know, Third Day would put on an awesome show. Yeah. And then For King and Country put on a ridiculous show. So yeah, if we're gonna go Christian artists, because that's where I would want to see, would probably be those three. Eva would probably go TFK, Thousand Foot Crutch.
We saw them at Soul Fest a few years ago. That was a fun time.
Yeah, Eva was pumped. If you don't know who they are, look them up. They're a Christian band that's like more heavy rock, and they put on a good show. They are pretty good. So, yeah, that'd probably be where I would go.
Sure.
With that, it's like, yeah. How about you?
I'd love to see Stephen Curtis Chapman. Maybe I'd think he'd put on a good show. I agree. Toby Mac would be really, really good for King and Country. Would probably be my next hope. I saw them last weekend actually up in Massachusetts, and they were phenomenal.
Oh, awesome! Yeah, I'm jealous that you saw them again. But I saw them twice within 3 months of each other.
Oh yeah,
last year, and the shows are just awesome. But it was funny. The set list was almost pretty exactly much the same.
Stays the same.
But yeah, they put on a great show. If you have not seen them live, you will be in awe on how much they move around and just put on an awesome show. So for King and Country, and their message is always right. Like
they got a new movie coming out too in about 2 weeks. Priceless. So that's going to be worth seeing. It shines a light on human trafficking. So speaking of human trafficking and civil rights, you know, I think maybe we should move into the saint of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. Saint Michael the Archangel, our protector, the leader of God's army. He has many roles in the Catholic faith. But most importantly to me, it's, you know, he's our protection. He's who we can call on, and he's an angel, and he's the leader of God's army. He is the archangel. No one is ranked ahead of him in the army of angels. So he is the first to combat Satan. He is the person that you call on in your darkest times, or I should say the angel that you call on in your darkest times. And the prayer to him is as follows. Saint Michael, the Archangel, defend us in the day of battle. Be our safeguard against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him. We humbly pray. And do you, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the other evil spirits who prowl throughout the world, seeking the ruin of our souls. Amen.
Amen.
So, Saint Michael, the Archangel, a pretty awesome saint. I was pumped to see that that was the saint of the day.
You were so excited just opening it. Hey!
Which is awesome. If you did end up going on to primecuts.org, I think it was prime-cuts.org. I think so. That was my friend Kelsey's website where he's got some pretty awesome Catholic snippets and stuff. And there was like a video and... Yep, that's it. So that's where the meet and greet video from last time was, and we all ended by, you know, that prayer or Saint Michael the Archangel. So it's just an awesome thing that he's the saint of the day. He is our protector. He is the defender against evil. So we always need a little more of that, more defending. Absolutely. Against evil. The fight against darkness is real. The devil is real. I don't think that gets said enough. And I think that when you invite darkness in your life and you invite negativity and just all that in your life, the devil is there. The devil's hands are on you, just swaying you. That little voice that's nagging you to do negative things, that's the devil and all his works. And I don't think that gets said enough. No. And I know it's not a really fun topic to talk about, but it's I think it needs to be said that when you're feeling that little nudge that you can't do something,
right?
That's not God. That's not you. That's the devil. That's the darkness in life telling you that you can't do something. So don't listen to it. Steer towards the light. Steer towards the positive. Speaking of positive.
Yes.
What do you got?
And fun
what do
you stuff. Got? All right. You peeked at the screen. On Kickstarter.com, there's a project that's being worked on, and they're looking for support, and it's already surpassed the amount that they're looking for. But it's the Trump 3D T. Now, this is not an endorsement of any candidate. I'm just sharing this because this is super weird and super funny. But basically, they have a T-shirt that they're working on that has a portrait of Donald Trump with realistic hair glued to the head. So as you're walking around and the wind blows, the hair moves around. You can comb it. You can put it in little bows if you'd like to. But it's a 3D tee. They were looking for a goal of $3,011. They have 9 days left to go. They already have earned $7,442. Which is sad.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I wish,
but it's funny.
maybe the Bacon Smiles t-shirt will be a picture of me with real hair on it.
Let's do it.
Red beard.
Let's do it.
Yeah, we could do this.
My brother's a graphic design person. Let's have it happen.
Yeah, we could fundraise this, I think. We could, you know, that's how this ministry is going to keep going. So we're going to keep affording to do this podcast through Red Beard.
Ministry will keep going.
Red Beard t-shirts. All right. So here I talked about earlier in the podcast. Here's my challenge to you. And I want to see if this will actually take on because I'm curious. I want to know what makes you smile. I want to know what makes you laugh. I want to know what God has put into your life to make you a joyous and smiling person. So on any of your social medias, if you can just put a picture of something that makes you smile or laugh and hashtag it with hashtag Bacon Smiles. That's the way that I want to know that you're listening. And that's the way I want you to kind of just spread joy and spread love. I want to know what makes you smile and laugh. So hashtag Bacon Smiles. Just put it out there. Just hashtag it. Bacon Smiles. So as always, I'm Steve Patera.
I'm Evan Shaw Mufford.
And thank you for listening. We love you all. And God bless.